Good evening. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Let me explain it this way. Every single person has imperfections. Every single person has problems and struggles in their own life. But when you dig down to the root and to the core of a problem in your life, every single time you're going to find that it is not a matter of fixing a pattern of lifestyle or a bad habit. You'll find that in your life, it's a matter that deals with your heart. With your heart. When you come to the very core of a problem, you'll find that the problem is the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. When I was praying about what I should preach about tonight, I asked the Lord what message he would want his people to hear. And as I prayed for God's leading, I thought to myself, well, of course, God wants his word to be preached. So what better message to preach than the very words Jesus preached? And immediately I thought about Matthew chapter number 5. And we have here what's recorded for us, or what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And when we think of the Sermon on the Mount, oftentimes we think about the beginning of chapter number 5, where Christ speaks and he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that meek, and so on and so forth. But just like every sermon has, this was the introduction of Jesus Christ's message. And I don't want to seem like I don't believe that there's a great truths and great lessons we could learn from just those beginning verses. But like a teacher in college often said, he said, major on the major, don't major on the minor. In other words, emphasize what should be emphasized. And make sure you make the main thing the main thing. So tonight, I would like for us to take a look at the very words of Jesus Christ and to listen to the very message he preached to his disciples and to get the message he was trying to get across. I believe that the same lesson Christ was teaching his disciples is so important for us to learn today as well. Tonight, would you consider three simple truths that will teach us the lesson Jesus taught his disciples, that the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Keep in mind that this is the message Jesus Christ was preaching, and it's going to get very personal. It's going to be thought-provoking. So if you get a little offended tonight, you could take it up with Jesus. And would you get this tonight, though? God is more concerned of who you are rather than what you do. God is more concerned tonight with who you are rather than what you do. Chapter number 5, verse 48 of Matthew, the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that is truth that we can apply to our lives. Lord, as we study your scripture tonight, as we take a look at the very words you preach to your disciples, Lord, I pray that you would change us. Lord, help us not to change lifestyle patterns or just habits, but change us. Lord, help us to take a look at our heart tonight. Help us to see that it's our heart that needs to be changed, not just our actions. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're going to do tonight, and we'll praise and honor you for what you do. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is more concerned with who you are rather than what you do. The first truth we're going to look at tonight is, number one, not doing bad things does not make someone a good person. Number one, not doing bad things does not make someone a good person. Go back to verse number 21 of Matthew. Verse number 21. The Bible says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse number 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse number 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Verse number 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. People may say tonight, okay, Zeke, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery with anyone. I haven't broken a promise I couldn't keep. I haven't lied. I haven't retaliated and sought to take revenge on someone who hurt me. So I'm not a bad person because I don't do those bad things. So since I'm not a bad person, that makes me a good person, right? Well, you and I both know that just because someone doesn't do a bad thing, it doesn't mean they're a good person. Look again with me at verse 21. Let's finish up those verses. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Sin is just not the act of murder. It's not just the action, but it's the anger that produces it. Are you or have you ever been angry? Does it take much for you to get angry or mad about something someone has done? No, you've never killed anyone before. I think that's true of everyone in here. But do you, in your heart, do you find it easy to find something wrong with someone and it just makes you mad? Do you get angry? You haven't committed the actual act of murder, but are you an angry person? You haven't done something, but you are something. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Sin is not just the act of adultery, but the lust that produces it. Are you a lustful person? Well, you haven't actually engaged in an immoral lifestyle. You didn't actually do the act. But do you find yourself thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about and dwelling on them? You haven't done something. You haven't done it. But you are something. Verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Jesus says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Sin is not just the act of lying, but the lack of integrity which produces it. Are you a dishonest person? Do you really mean what you say? No, you haven't actually lied, or you haven't actually lied or told something untrue, but did you lead a person to think something was true, or that something could have been true? In your heart, do you lack integrity and are not completely truthful? Again, you haven't done something, but you are something. You are something. Verse number 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Sin is not just the act of revenge, but the failure to respond in love. Have you been an unforgiving person? Yes, we agree that the person was wrong in offending you, and they hurt you. and you didn't actually, you know, lash out back at them. You didn't try to get your revenge back at them. But in your heart, have you held something against that person and you can't let it go? Are you unforgiving? You haven't done something, but you are something. Just because someone hasn't done something bad, it doesn't mean they're a good person. They may have held back the damage from actually being done, but that damage, the only result of that, is it being deflected to the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. It's not just the bad acts that God sees as sin, it's the heart, and God sees that the problem isn't the act, it's the heart. You can stop someone from doing something wrong, but you can't change their heart. Only God can. And it requires a decision by the individual to change. The first truth we learned was not doing a bad thing doesn't make someone a good person. The next truth is this. Number two, doing good things doesn't make someone a good person. Doing good things doesn't make someone a good person. Now, as you think about that for a second, isn't it true that what you do determines who you are? For example, if you kill someone, doesn't that make you a murderer? If you steal something, doesn't that make you a thief? Well, yes. And while those things are true, at the same time, just because someone goes, dare I say, soul winning every week, that doesn't make them a soul winner. Knocking on doors and inviting people to church twice a week or however many times doesn't make someone a soul winner. A soul winner is a person who is mindful of all those around him, not just on certain days of the week. They have the intention to live a godly testimony in front of their family, in front of their coworkers, and they are a person who witnesses not just on certain days of the week, but also at their work, to their neighbors, wherever they go. It's not just a duty to do and check off the checklist. Being a soul winner is a lifestyle and a part of who you are. There's a difference between a soul winner and a weekly soul winning attendee. Another illustration is this. Just because someone reads God's word doesn't mean that they are a man or a woman of God's word. There are many people that read the Bible, but they don't even take heed to what God's word actually says. They read the very words of God and then they go their way unchanged, expecting God to bless them for their good deed of reading their Bible. Being a man or a lady of God's word is letting God change who you are and not just reading it. Look at chapter number 6, verse number 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Verse number 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And verse number 16, Jesus said, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Christ makes it clear that doing good things doesn't mean you're a good person. On the outside, someone may look like they have it all together. They may look like they're a great person. But on the inside, Christ knows the ulterior motives of the heart. He knows the pride. He sees the selfishness. He sees the deceit. Giving, praying, fasting, these are good deeds. These are forms of worship. But these acts of worship, they mean nothing and they are vain if they are not done with a humble spirit and with a pure heart. God is more concerned, remember, with who you are rather than what you do. The first truth we learned was that not doing bad things doesn't make you a good person. Second, doing good things doesn't make someone a good person. The last truth tonight, it's not about doing or not doing, it's about being. The last truth, it's not about doing or not doing, it's about being. Verse number 48, would you read it again? Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That first word is be. It didn't say do good things or do therefore perfect things because your Father which is in heaven does perfect things. It says be ye. Once again, God is more concerned with who you are rather than what you do. When God looks at a person, he doesn't look at them like someone would physically look at themselves in the mirror. God looks past the skin and the flesh, and he looks past the shell of our physical self. And he sees into our very core and into our very being. He sees the intents and the motives and our hopes, and he sees our heart. When he examines your heart, there's no way of hiding or tricking God that our heart is as healthy or is as good as it should be. Tonight, would you take an honest look at your heart and see yourself as God would see yourself? Would you look into your very core? Don't lie or don't try to butter yourself up. God sees you for who you really are. And would you do the same and examine yourself tonight? When we come to the grips of reality, and when we realize that, hey, none of us truly are a purely good person, when we realize that we're not perfect, when we're a sinner in the sight of God, and we're not really all we thought we were, and then when we understand and see that God is holy, and we see that God is perfect, and when we see that God, who he really is, when we see who really God is, then is the moment we can go to God and say, "Lord, I'm unperfect. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a wreck and I have problems. But you, Lord, you're so perfect. You're so good. You're so powerful. And Lord, will you with that power change me? Would you change me? Will you make me a godly individual? Will you rid me of self? Will you make me holy? Lord, make me the person I need to be. Don't let me be just a person who does good things but is rotten and sick inside. Don't let me just seek self-righteous deeds, but transform me. Let good deeds flow out of me from a heart that is pure, from a heart that is good and clean. Make me who I need to be. Don't just let me be satisfied in good works, but make me a person who is godly. Don't let me do what's right. Help me to be right. Help me to be holy as you are holy." When we allow God to change us and mold us into who we need to be, then the do's and the don'ts will flow from a pure heart, from a good heart. Verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, we took a look at your desire for us. Lord, you're not concerned with just doing, getting into the habits and the things we need to do, Lord, but you are more interested in our heart. And Lord, you are more interested in who we are. Lord, I pray tonight that you would change us. Lord, make us the people we need to be. Make us the Christians that are real. Lord, would you help us to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves? Lord, we know we're not perfect, Lord. But Lord, you have the power to change us. Change our heart, God. I pray that as we give our heart to you, Lord, you will use us. Help us to be totally surrendered to you. And once again, God, just give us a heart to serve you. Thank you again for Christ. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you for our salvation through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.